God for seeing Kathy back there. Amen. Thank God we've seen Ella Tennessee have smiled all week. I was trying to figure out what was wrong, but I found out his wife was away. So we're so glad that he has his smile back. Amen. Truly thank God for everything. We thank God for my wife. Amen. I think if you learned anything, being in the Georgia State Council, you learn to appreciate wives. Amen. You know, a lot of times we get in the habit of doing things, and all of these pastors and ministers are all so proud of their wives. So I'm proud of my wife too. Amen. I gotta learn to do it like they do it. But I do appreciate it, amen, because you know, one of the things about being out is you learn that family is important, amen. Relationships are important, and marriage is very important. You know, those are some of the things that take back seat a lot of time when it comes to church. Amen. But family and marriage, husband and wife, they are important. Amen. So we learn, we need to, as we go out, we learn to glean from what we see. Amen. So we learn. Amen. If my wife had her way, I'd be down in Georgia for 3 weeks trying to help Bishop, trying to change Bishop. And I told her, I don't want to do that. Oh, I'm trying to change me. All right, I'm trying to change Bishop. Amen. Well, we thank God. It truly was a blessing being with Bishop. And Bishop said everyone is loved. He was just so shocked that we were there so long that we gave him a love offering. Amen. He called on the way home and he just said, tell the saints thank you so much. And tell the saints that I love them. And, you know, we love you. And we just bless the Lord for that, and we thank God for that. Now, the subject we're going to deal with tonight, I'm going to give you a message ahead of time so you can think about it. A lot of times we hear people always talking about the way it used to be. You ever hear that? Y'all ever hear that? The way it used to be. In church, it used to be. Things used to be this way in church. The question is, has God changed? Has God changed? When you think about church, the church era has changed. The reverence for God, the piety, the holiness has changed. But the issue we're going to deal with tonight is, has God changed? Amen. And I just go over a couple of the scriptures that I do have down. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, so what? Same. So that means he has not changed. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. So if God has not changed, who's changed? If God hasn't changed, who's changed? Amen. And another scripture, Malachi 3:6 says, the Lord changeth not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not. Why? Because God has not changed. Then Hebrews 6 and verse 18 says, whereby two immutable, unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to tell a lie. So God has. So if God hasn't changed, what has changed? God is the same. God has the same power today that he had in the beginning. God can perform the same miracles today that he performed in the beginning. So if we don't see the miracles, if we don't see the change, who has changed? All right, I was trying to get my bearings. So we're starting Judges chapter 6. I didn't give you that one, but we'll start that anyway, okay? Amen. Judges chapter 6, because this is a question that has plagued the people of God throughout the centuries. It's not a new issue. It's not a new problem. It's not a new challenge. Has God changed? Amen. The way God performed miracles of old, he can't do it today. When he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God could do it before, why can't he do it today? Amen. So go to Judges chapter 6, and we're starting verse 6, and we know this is when the Midianites were oppressing the children of Israel. Amen. The book of Judges deal with God delivering his people And then them being in rebellion to him and then going back into bondage. So this is one of the times that they're in bondage as a result of their rebellion to God. That is the number one thing that has changed today, and we'll go over it a little later, is that we no longer give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. But the reason that God is not doing what he does is because we keep letting what we hear slip. Amen. Verse 6. Do we all have it? I'm going to let y'all sit down. Y'all want to sit down? They all want to stand up. Well, let's stand up for this one. Then I'll let y'all sit down. Okay? God has not changed. And you know, I listen to people all the time talk about the way it used to be. Well, what's changed? It certainly is not God. Verse 6 reads, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel, amen. It's amazing when we get in trouble, we know where to go. Amen. When things are good, we take God for granted. But when we get in a little bit of trouble, we know where to go. Then God will bless us, and this was the case of Judges. They get in trouble, cry out to God, God will deliver them. When they got comfortable, the scripture said, be well as she forget the Lord. Then they will forget God. Amen. Verse 7 says, and it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt. He said, you know what? I brought you out of bondage. Any of us been delivered from bondage? Any of us been redeemed from the hand of the enemy? God said, now I have brought you out. Anybody been brought out? I'm so glad that he brought me out. Hallelujah. So I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that
oppressed you.
Was it some or what? You delivered out of the hand of what? All. What a mighty God we serve. All that oppressed you and drave them out before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the the gods of the Amorites represented the gods of the environment, which was not the true God. So today, are we fearing God or are we fearing the gods of the environment? Every environment, every culture changes. So there's a different perspective of God, but God never changes. So he said, I want you to still fear me. I'm the God the same. I change not. He said, don't be influenced by the worship of the environment. How many know every environment is different? Amen. He said, I say unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. So wherever you live, that youth is a God in that land. But God doesn't want us to be influenced by that environment. He said, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So they're in this predicament because they did not obey his voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and said unto her, an oath which was an offer that pertaineth unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord. I like to have that kind of testimony. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is... And that's, you know what he's saying? He says, if God is with us, why are we in the predicament? Why are we in the situation? Why do we have these challenges and God is with us? That doesn't make sense. That God is with us, we have all of these challenges. I'm all right. I'm going to let y'all sit down in a minute. He said, come on, speed it up. I'm speeding up for y'all. Okay? Amen. He said, and where be all his miracles which are the way you see. Gideon said, if God has been with us, why aren't the things happening today like they used to happen? All the things that we have heard about. Amen? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this, not his might, because it's not by might nor by power, but by his. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said,
the word of the Lord,
bless already. Amen. So even that day, this is some hundred years after God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were asking, what happened to all that we used to hear about? What happened to all that God used to do? It's basically saying, God has changed. But the question we want to deal with is, has God changed? The latter part of verse 10 said, you're in this predicament. You're having these challenges because you have not obeyed my voice. Amen. Today, we are greatly influenced by our environment. Amen. And many times, the voice in the environment speaks louder than the voice of God. God speaks it all the time. But when we get comfortable in our environment, we will listen more to the voice in the environment than we listen to God. And as a result of us not listening to God, even though we might not intentionally do it, we've been walking in an inadvertent disobedience. Can we say that? Inadvertent disobedience. I mean, you don't plan on doing it, but you're still in
disobedience.
Amen. With that in mind, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to go fast. We won't finish tonight, but we'll go as fast as we can. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Inadvertent disobedience is a transgression. Amen. It's a disobedience. But the word of God says in chapter 2 of Hebrews, therefore we ought to give more earnest. You know, when we hear God's word, it's not just supposed to be like a story. It's not supposed to be like a novel. It's not supposed to be like something in passing. But when we hear it, I heard it say it's supposed to find a lodging place in our hearts so that we will not sin against God. So hearing God's word is not like listening to the three bears or what is it, the three pigs, Cinderella, and all that, ain't that kind of story. We got to give attention to detail. So when he said give them more, not just regular heed, but give them what? More earnest heed to the things which you. You know what said? God said to give attention to my word through details. Amen. It's not just a surface word. You have to give the more earnest heed to the things you hear, lest at any time you let them slip. Well, why do you have to be concerned about letting God's word slip? Why do you have to be concerned about walking in inadvertent disobedience? Right? Did you plan on doing it? Well, I really did. And I wasn't sure what to do, so I did it. Disobedience is disobedience. All right? You got the disobedience of commission or the disobedience of omission. Nevertheless, it's still disobedience. Now, does God's word change to fit our circumstances? God's word does not change to fit our circumstances. God's word is one thing that is constant because the Lord changes not. Right? In the beginning was the word. The word was. And the word was. So God's word never changes. Well, why do we have to give the more earnest heed? Amen. We hear, but how far does God's word penetrate? Amen. A lot of us have a mental knowledge, but it is not found a lodging place in our hearts. Amen. When God's word is in our heart, it will direct and order our steps. Amen. And the reason we have to give it more earnest heed, verse 2 says, for if the word spoken by angels was, couldn't be changed. It was fixed. And every, how many transgressions? Can we say every?
Yes.
Transgression means to go against God, whether it's inadvertent or intentional. It is a transgression. To transgress means to go against. Amen?
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
Y'all gotta hold your heads up. Y'all be scared of y'all heads. Oh, where we going? I ain't going nowhere. Bam, this trying to help me realize God is still God.
Amen.
And God's word doesn't change.
Yes.
And he won't, you know, sometimes, you know, when you get a soup, my wife made me a couple of TaylorMade soups years ago. Remember those TaylorMade soups I had? But they were TaylorMade to fit me.
All right.
Right? God's word is not TaylorMade.
Yeah.
His word does not fit your situation. We have to wear the same suit that everybody else wears. Because he said, what I say unto,
what?
I say unto,
oh.
God does not tailor-make his word to fit your situation. And your situation is your situation, but it doesn't change. So he said, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of God does not change. Somebody said, well, I didn't mean to do it. It does not change his word. He said, they still have to receive a recompense means that you're going to have to reap what you have. The good thing about God is this. God is a fair God. Amen. The scripture said, when there's no law, there is no transgression. So if you don't know and you mess up a little bit, then your recompense is a little. But God forbid if you know a lot, where much is required. If you know a lot and you transgress, you receive a greater reaping process. Amen. Then he said, well, in the end, verse 3 said, how shall we? How are you going to get by? You messed up. You know you messed up. How are you going to get by with that? Amen. A lot of times, I'm just saying how it used to be. It's still the same. God has not changed. So, well, just my chance, God might miss this. How you gonna escape if you neglect? It's just not a regular salvation. Amen. What kind of salvation? So great a salvation. How you don't get by? He's still God. The reason that things aren't what they used to be is every day today, the church, people of God, have learned to take God for granted.
Yes.
There used to be a reverence or a fear. God is watching me. I can't do this. God sees me where I'm at. I can't act like this. Because the fruit of the Spirit, what kind of, you got ugly fruit. You know who named that ugly fruit? My wife. When people act like God, that's ugly fruit. How you gonna act ugly and then come to expect God to bless you? God did not change. You act ugly. So when you act ugly, you reap. Oh, y'all know that. Y'all gotta stay with me. I ain't talking about ugly looking. I talk about that ugly attitude. I talk about a nasty, mean disposition. You act ugly. You act mean. But you want God to bless you. He said, no, sir, no, ma'am. Every transgression. Every. So when you don't know what they did to me, God didn't tell you to respond to them. He said, do it as unto me and not unto man. The church today, environment says, you do me. This is what young people say. I don't say this. That's what I heard. I heard young people say this. I didn't know they meant it first. Right, Lexi? You do me and I do you. Is that, I don't know. I heard somebody say that. They don't say that no more? You do you?
I do me.
It means the same thing, right? In other words, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, when I came, that was done away with. Because that was under the law. So the church challenge is, we talk about grace, but many of us live under the law. Amen? We talk about grace, indeed, but we live under the law, and then when we start living under the law and expecting God to work like he worked under the law, we say, God has changed. God has not changed. Amen. But we are living in a new church age. We are living in a new dispensation. The law was our schoolmaster. You know what a schoolmaster does? It leads you. It teaches you. What did it do? It was a schoolmaster that was to lead us to Christ. So the challenge today is not being caught under the law, but now living under grace. Amen. God has not changed. Verse 4, the same verse says, God also bearing them witness, both and wonders and diamonds, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. But he does it how? God has not changed. God has a will. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, he keeps talking about the good pleasure of his will. God does everything according to his will. But the reason we feel as though God has changed is because we have changed our look at God. God is still God. God said, I was God, I am God, and I will always be God. But we don't reverence God the way we used to. Kids don't reverence parents the way you used to. Now, let me ask you a question. Can we all participate in this? How many of you got parents? If you're born, you had a parent. If they're not alive, you had a parent. Did your parents ever stop being a parent?
No.
Young people? Y'all parents ever stop being parents? They still parents? Maybe? You don't know? Hey, didn't you enjoy a kid? Your parents never stop being your parents. But the scripture says, honor your mother and father. For this is the first commandment with promise. So the reason I'm asking is, when we get to be 40 or 50, we feel as though we don't have parents. And I'm just telling you today's culture, today's attitude, how we act. Amen. When I go down south, my wife is one of the witnesses. All of my aunts and uncles, I still say, yes, ma'am, and
no, sir.
That's how I was raised. If I go down there and say, yeah, nah, they'd be looking like, where did you come from? Yeah, because we were taught to honor and to respect. Now, I know the North, y'all don't do the yes, ma'am, no, sir, but yeah, nah, ain't respectful. I don't care who you are. So the reason the culture is changing is because our respect for one another is changing. So we don't respect one another. If we don't respect one another, how can we respect God? So what's the scripture? He said, if you can't love your brothers, who you do see, how can you love who you can't see? If you can't respect your loved one, whether it be husband, wife, brothers and sisters, parents and children, if you can't respect each other, who you can see. Right? Y'all know that's what it's going to be, right? God can't see. Now parents, right? Then how can you respect and reverence God who you can't see? So because the culture and the reverence and respect is breaking down, we act like God has changed when God is still the same. The change is that we are more influenced by our culture than God's word. Didn't he say you ought to give God more earnest? Remember those, I guess where they asked us, more earnest heed? I had an English teacher, who's English teachers, right? Those are adjectives or adverbs. Yeah, add something. It ain't an adjective, it's an adverb. It's something in that, right? You know that it's adding something. More earnest heed. I think those are adverbs. Right, Kathy?
Right.
Okay, I know. I know the school a little bit. I know adjectives like beautiful, black, white, yellow, that's those adjectives. But adverbs describes the verb. You got to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. Amen. Now let's go to Mark chapter 16. Y'all don't get nervous. I'm going to stay on course. I already told you I'm not going to finish. But we're trying to define or trying to describe why God does not have an impact in our lives like He is said. Why doesn't God move in our families like He
used to?
Why doesn't God move in the church like He
used to?
Why doesn't the church have an impact in the community like it
used to?
When God is still the same. And He has not changed. The problem is not God, the problem is us. In our reverence, first for one another. If you don't love each other, if you don't respect one another, as I said, my wife and I taught a seminar on marriage. They said, y'all been married for at least 20 years, and y'all should know something about marriage. So we taught a seminar on marriage, and one of this ain't in the book. Can we go there for a minute? Go to Malachi chapter 2, then we'll come back to Mark chapter 16. I want to show you something real fast in Malachi chapter 2, and this is dealing about marriage. And I said, uh-oh, I got to close my ears now. Nope, don't close them open. Because we're trying to figure out why, as families and loved ones, why we are not receiving the good from God like we used to. God has not changed. He is still the same. All right, let's go to verse 6 in Malachi chapter 2. And I'm not going to say it long because I really wasn't supposed to go here, but I just want to show you something about when we dishonor our covenant. Right? A covenant is a vow or is a pledge that you made before God. That's a covenant. Amen. When we get saved, we enter into a covenant. When we get married, we enter into a
covenant.
Come on, married people, we enter into a what? A covenant. Now, if you're in a covenant, do you have a right to rewrite that covenant according to what you feel? No matter how bad He makes you, you still got to honor the
covenant.
What's the word?
Covenant.
You don't see anybody else? I got caught. No matter how bad He makes you, you got to live according to the
covenant.
No matter how bad she make, you might think she makes you, you got to live according to the
covenant.
And a man, you mess up anyway. This is what God said. He defined the wife, find a thing. And find it.
Hey,
come on, y'all. Y'all know that's right. Find a what? Favor with God. Now, when they find favor, that favor of the Old Testament is the Hebrew word ratsow, R-A-T-S-O-W-N. That word favor in the Old Testament and ratsow is the same as grace in the New Testament, which is charis. So if when you find a wife, you're going to need a whole lot of help. That's what that favor means. You got to have love. You know why? Because two people are going to have to become what? One. But let me get old because I don't have a lot of time. And I don't want y'all to walk out on me. Verse 6 says, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and it turned many away from iniquity. For the priesthood should keep, even today, they should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the maybe one of what these priests be doing, but nevertheless, he's still supposed to be the what? The messenger. That includes me. I'm going to leave myself out, all right? I'm not saying I'm so high and hard, but what do we teach in the day? But ye are God has not changed. The reason things have changed is because ye have departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before, according as ye have not kept my ways, would have been
partial.
You're like, when you think of partial of the law, what does that mean? It means you pick and choose. I like that, but I don't like this. Now, y'all feeling your own likes and dislikes. Y'all know what y'all likes and dislikes are. Right? I'll do this, but I won't do that. Well, you're partial because you're not fulfilling the whole law. Amen. So that's the issue that he's dealing with. They were partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Have not
one God created us?
Who did we, why did we deal enemy? What's the problem? How do we deal with one another? Right? Because we're partial. And we feel so God has changed because I will do this. You know, there are sometimes people say, you know what? I can stand this one. This one better not come around me. Right? Amen. Y'all don't do that. Some people have those issues. Right? Y'all don't have those problems, right? You can be happy to the wrong person show up. So I'm not reading down the line. The wrong person show up, and you be messed up for 2 days.
Jesus.
But the Bible said we have to love our enemy. Amen. And pray for those who despitefully use and persecute us. Do good to them that hate you. But then when somebody that come around and we just don't like their attitude, we can add. You have become you become partial. Because you're saying, you know what? You know, somebody come around you like you be jumping, happy, you know. I'm really saying this, I ain't lying. I'm telling the truth. Somebody be happy that somebody come around and like, what happened? What changed? Partial. That's God hasn't changed, but our culture has changed. And we want to honor God's whole word. We pick and choose. Is that right? Can you put that on? All right, let me. We become partial. I'm going to go. Have not we all one Father? We transgress, deal transgressions against our brother by profaning the covenant of our Father. Judah has dealt treacherous, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he, God loves holiness. When you profane holiness, God gets angry and hath married the daughters of a strange God. And the Lord will cut off that man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done.
Amen.
He said, you did it again. Now listen to this. This is a description of not you, somebody else. So don't get nervous. Amen. I'm not talking about you. Blessed is you. Y'all like that, right? That's what we say now. It's like a blessing. I ain't never knew what all that meant, but they say, blessing, not ready. So, right? I ain't talking about you. Blessed is you. But listen to this. Covering the altar of the Lord, we can cry when things in our way. Amen. Now, we don't mess up, but we going to go to the Lord. Where are we going to the what? Altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and crying out. In so much that he, God said, now you've been partial. You've done what you wanted to do. Now you're in church, you're praying, you're crying, you're doing all of this. God said, you did what you wanted to do. He said, I can't regard that. Why won't God regard it? Because you did what you
wanted to do.
So God will not regard it, amen? He said, I received it with good will at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore?
Because the Lord.
Because the Lord. Can we all read this together, especially if you're married? Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife in thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt. Yet she is thy companion and the
wife
of thy covenant. God says when we do what we want to do, we can still come and pray. We can cry tears. God said, I won't regard it and I won't receive it. The scripture said, give honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel. And there's a consequence. Now, God didn't say she's weaker, but you know what God is saying? He said, if somebody don't take that, right? Where there's no wood, yeah, we read some Proverbs 12 times last year. At least once, I hope. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Like where there is no strife, contention will cease. What he meant in the scripture, he says, you are the head as a man. So even though it's out of control, I expect you to give honor to them as the. So you have my uncle said, they asked him, how did you stay married for 57 years? He said, I learned to say two words. And that's what we did. What are they? Yes, dear. Who said that? That's right. He said, I learned to say yes, dear. They got some. That's it? He said, that's it. Give honor to the woman as unto the weaker vessel that your prayers not be in. All right, now let's go to Mark. We're finished in Mark chapter 16. Amen. We cannot pick and choose partially what we will accept in God's word and then expect God to bless us and then get upset when God doesn't bless us because we picked and chose, because we were partial. God said, I cannot receive it. I won't regard it, because if I bless you and you're wrong, you will never be right. This is what the scripture says. Y'all gotta sing with me. I'm gonna have to be like Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder. I'm gonna have to put on some shade so I can't see. All right, I gotta edit that out. Amen. But what I'm saying is, we got to get some joy, even in church. God has not changed, but we've allowed our environment and our culture to weigh on us so heavily, we don't have the joy of the Lord as our strength anymore. Amen. Then we're going to go to, I'm going to go through this, but I have 10 minutes. I promise I'll go through it in 10 minutes. Let's start at verse 9. Now, we're dealing with Jesus has died and he has risen. But the problem is, everyone, for the most part, did not believe. So it's hard for you to get something from God when you don't believe. But we want God to bless us, right? Now verse 9 says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first. I said, wow, why didn't we get to one of the apostles? Because he's God, he can do it the way he wanted to. And he began to marry whom he had cast out. In life, we had a tendency to say, you know where they came from? You know what? Somebody got seven devils, demon possessed. When we look at it through our eyes, how can God use it? So, you know what God said? He said, you know why I appear to you? The one that you can't allow. One that would be despicable and despised in your eyes. That's what God appeared to you first. Right, because he said, even though I have my apostles, as God, I choose to elevate whom I choose to elevate. So he appeared to a woman first. Y'all ladies should have been challenged. Amen. Verse 10, and she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her,
believe not.
That's why he had to go to a woman first. The ones that should have been believing, the one that's been in church all these years, the one that's the closest to God, they don't believe. So God goes to the people he knows will believe to help those that will not believe. So the apostles and all of them there, what? Didn't believe. Amen? Now we're trying to say, the scripture that give the more earnest heed to the things which you... Jesus told them that he said, I'm going to be down 3 days and I will rise. But they did not
believe.
Did he change? No. Well, why did they get the miracles that they should have? Because they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told unto the residue. Are we talking about sinners or are we talking about the saints? He, the Bible says, he that cometh to God, M-U-S-T, believe. It's not an option. If you're going to come to God, he must believe that he is a reward of them that, and if you don't believe, he says, without faith, it's impossible. But the apostles, all those that he had spoken to personally, did not believe. It says, after he appeared unto the 11 as they said it be. And the 11, right? Because Judas had hung himself. The 11 who should have been the first to believe, did not believe. Right? So the Lord, before he could send the Holy Ghost, before he could do anything else, he said, I got to get these unbelieving saints. The first, why isn't God moving? Because we got to get the unbelievers. The first, so he said, you know, I can't do anything with the followers until I get the leaders in the line. He said, I can't go to those that are second. He said, I got to go to the ones that are in charge. He went to the one, he left. Those were the apostles. Amen? Amen? Them which had seen him and after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye. Now, this is the Lord's command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to some of the creatures.
Every.
To the people you like.
Every.
Preach unto what?
Every
creature. He that believeth and is baptized. You can get baptized. A lot of people get baptized, but they don't believe. That's a combination of believing and baptized. Amen? So in order for you to be saved, you have to believe and baptize. But he that believeth not is dead. Amen? And okay, let me ask you a question. Has God changed? So did the signs change? As long as you believe, you should still have? The signs should still be there as long as you
believe.
These signs might, by chance, by happenstance, these signs shall fall. Well, how come you don't have a sign? Because you don't believe. The signs are going to fall. Why isn't God doing this? Because you talk it, but you don't really
believe
it. The Lord had to get them the first belief. He didn't tell them this is what's going to happen until after he got them the first what? Believe. You can't expect God to do anything for you until you believe. All the pride and all that won't change. You first must believe. And these signs shall follow and believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay on the hands on the sick, and they shall what? These signs shall follow them. Anybody believe? Then the sign should be evident. This, we read in Hebrew, he confirmed the word through signs, wonders, and miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached. Now the difference was before they were doing it, they didn't have God's help. But now he's with them. And the Lord was
working with them.
I just wanted to in all that we do. Has God worked with us?
Hallelujah.
He said, the law confirmed the word, the law working with him and confirming the word with. But the law was working
with
them. He has not changed. God is still the same. Amen. The problem is not God, the problem is the church. Amen. So we got to do two pages of notes, but I got five left. We're picking up again.
Amen.
Just like when I went to Bishop Church and I preached, I said we got through the half the notes. When I went back this side, they said, "Are you going to finish?" I said, "I don't think so." Amen. But on the serious side, if we don't get out of all of this doubt, unbelief, and picking and choosing? When we pick and choose, I can't go there because I said I'm going to finish. But when we pick and choose, we walk in disobedience to God. Let's just go to Hebrews chapter 6 because it's not 8:30, so I got 3 minutes. So I said, can't you ever finish early? Yes. But not tonight. Hebrews chapter 6. All right, we'll finish here. We did talk about it a little bit earlier. But we just want to go over a couple of verses of Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start actually with verse 13. Well, actually verse 11 or 12, or 13, verse 12. All right. It's so important for us to receive from God, we have to have the right frame of mind. And we have to believe God. I don't care. People can talk all the faith in you they want. If you don't believe, you won't receive. Amen. Verse 12 says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he it's not what we mean by swear. God said, this is an oath that you can count on all the way to the bank. What's the oath? My word. God, that swear doesn't mean, you know, he said, well, like, we go to court. Well, like, no, he didn't mean that kind of swear. You see, this swear means it's an oath. It's an ironclad guarantee that you can count all the way to the bank. Amen. Because he can swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee and multiply. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath of confirmation is to them an end of when God willing, can we say more abundantly? God didn't just want to do it in a little way, but how? More abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the God said, my counsel will not change. It's going to be immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible, you can count on anything God tells you. Because God will not lie. Impossible for God to lie, that we may have what kind of consolation? A strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Finish in Numbers 23:19. God will not lie. If God said that you can, Papa, you laughing at me? Or with justice, you laughing at me? I said, there's one more. Why did you do? Okay, this is it. Okay, I'm 1 minute over time. I'll take off 1 minute next time for this. But Numbers 23:19, all right? If anything God tells you, you can count on. If we tell you something, you don't have to count it. But if God tells you, and that's why it's important to have a prayer life and to hear from God. Because when God tells you something, you can count on it all the way to the bank. Why? Because God is not a man. Isn't it wonderful to know that our God is not a man? God is not a man that he said, I imagine the Son of Man that he should have he said, and if God tells you that, I don't care what anybody else says, God will do it. The doctor, the lawyer, the enemy, everything else. What did God tell you? If God said it, shall he not do it? And if he spoke it, shall he not make it? You can count on God, as we all say. God has not changed. God's the same. The challenge is that we have to do what he tells us to do. And then in God speaking, just believe. So I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know he's going to do it. Hallelujah. You sing a song, I don't know when, and I don't know how, but I know he's going to do it. As the elders and the ministers come forward, God has not changed. The one thing, God is definitely in common. Whatever God says, you can count on it. Man fails. Man will let you down. But God is not a man. He won't let you down ever again. I mean, ever.